Good afternoon, Packers fans. Aaron Negler here with your Packers Daily Chat, coming to you live on the Cheesehead TV social channels. It is Friday. Hope you're all set for a great weekend wherever you are, wherever you're going, whatever you're doing. Have fun, stay safe, and, you know, check in with Cheesehead TV, because if anything is going on with the green and gold, you know you'll find it here on Cheesehead TV, devoted to Packers fans worldwide. That's what we do here on a Friday when there is absolutely nothing going on in the world of the Green Bay Packers. It's funny watching content creators kind of scrape and claw here right to the end of this stretch where we at least we get the combine next week, where no, Brian Gutekunst probably won't say a whole lot, at least in public, and quotes will be generated, content will be created, and at least we'll have something to go off of. But man, this stretch, I think I saw Bukowski arguing about a point that was made on the blogosphere about 2 weeks ago with himself, like not even aimed at anybody. Man, we got to get to the combine. We got to get some actual, at least seemingly close to news-ish material for folks to sink their teeth into. Hope you're all doing well. I will be traveling to the combine on Sunday night, get in late Sunday evening to Indianapolis. We will hear from Brian Gutekunst on Tuesday morning, along with a litany of GMs and coaches, though we will not hear from Brian Gutekunst, like I said, until Tuesday morning. We will not hear from Matt LaFleur at all. LaFleur not scheduled to appear, which I don't think is a surprise after the last couple years where he and the coaching staff have stayed behind there at Lambeau and worked throughout the week remotely, sometimes checking in via Zoom, etc., with some of the prospects and what have you. But this has been the trend in the NFL. Really, I think McVay and his staff were really the first to kind of keep the entirety of the staff behind and work remotely. Obviously, LaFleur has gone that route. A number of other teams have started to go that way. But there are still plenty of coaches on kind of offer, so to speak, especially on Tuesday. I'm very interested to hear from Aaron Glenn, the new coach of the Jets, along with a few others. And hey, the Jaguars finally hired a general manager. It was funny seeing the availabilities come out this morning, and they had Jaguars GM TBD because there wasn't one. But now there is. It's very exciting, but we don't really worry about that here because we worry about the Green Bay Packers, and we worry about you, Packers fans worldwide. Hope you're all doing well. Before we get going here, want to make sure you remember, coming up April 2nd, do not forget, circle your calendar. The Cheesehead TV draft guide will be available April 2nd. Everything you need to know when it comes to the NFL draft, especially as it pertains to these prospects and how they fit in Green Bay schematically, athletically. This is the one and only draft guide by fans for fans. Been going on 15 years. April 2nd, it's going to be dropping. Make sure you're ready. Like I said, circle the calendar. What's going on, everybody? Good to see you all. Ben Rock, what's going on, man? Pack Daddy is here, of course. Tulio, how are you? Dale Norton, good afternoon. Oh, that's very kind. Devin saying it's the best part of the day, folks. I mean, that's kind. I think you're being facetious, but I appreciate it. Greetings, everyone. John Eric Sullivan is back. Yes, John Eric Sullivan, who was in the running for the general manager position there in Jacksonville, did get a follow-up interview. All their initial interviews were held remotely. John Eric Sullivan got a in-person interview last week, or actually, I believe it was earlier this week, but he did not get the gig. So he is back in the fold, so to speak. We will see him in Indy, working his tail off for the Green Bay Packers. Lieutenant Dan, that's an interesting question. A year late moving on from Alexander, aka Yap City? I don't think so, given where they were at the end of last year post suspension. Sure felt like the kind of issues, whatever they may be, were behind them. I know there was a lot that we have not heard about when he did get suspended for his actions down there in Carolina. I heard from more than one person talking about how this had been accumulation of things behind the scenes. But it did feel like things were smoothed over, and he certainly came into camp raring to go. I'll never forget one of the very first practices when Jordan Love got back after his hold-in, signed his deal, was out there, and there was a play that Jair made in the flat, in the right flat, where they tried to get him on a whip route and he dove and knocked the ball down. Probably should have had an interception, but he got up screaming, yelling and talking junk to Jordan. And I thought, okay, we're back. Like he was, like I said, he was ready to go. So sure felt like at the end of last year, they were in a good spot with Jair, but that certainly seems to have all fallen apart, especially. And then I'm like, look, I'm not making this up. Jair literally said at the end of the season, the locker cleanout day, I don't have anything good to say. I don't even know if I'm going to be here next year. Pretty much tells you where his head's at. And we all know the reports from Rob and others about kind of the behind the scenes frustrations with Jair this season. It's easy to look back and say they should have jettisoned him last year, but I think that's with the benefit of hindsight, considering, like I said, how things seem to have turned a corner after the suspension. And look, we're not privy to those conversations, right? I can only imagine where Brian, Matt, and company were with Jair after they had to suspend him, or they felt they had to suspend him. And seemingly, you know, again, he was back and ready to go. And don't forget, he had an insanely big interception in that playoff win against Dallas, really setting up that game with a big play. So, yeah, I get it. I understand kind of the, you know, idea of maybe they should have gone along last year, but I think I understand why they thought they'd be in a much better spot this season. It's just, and that just kind of, to me, highlights and, you know, really emphasizes the frustration in how effective he is when he's on the field. He's just never on the field. And as a coach and as a personnel person who's handed a monster contract to a guy, I get the frustration. I understand that. Joe, what's up, man? What position of need won't Goot address in the draft that will have Packer draft Knicks tearing their hair out? You know, it wouldn't surprise me if he doesn't go corner, at least not early, if he waits on corner a little bit. That said, you know, it is all guesswork at this point, because a lot of it will be dependent on what holes he tries to fill in free agency first, where he feels he has to kind of maybe not reach for need, but he has to draft for need. Best player available is always about best player available at a position of need. So we shall see. The Packers deep 2022 draft class is approaching the last year of their rookie contract. Who do you think gets re-signed and who ends up walking for free agency as of today? Well, let me pull it up here so I don't miss anyone. Hold on a second. Draft class. There we go. Let's take a look, shall we? Your first up is Quay Walker. I think Quay will get a deal. I don't think they're going to pull the fifth-year option on him, but I do think they're going to give him an extension, probably like around a three-year deal. That's actually a two-year deal. I think a big component of this is getting to see him another year in this new defense, especially with Edgerrin Cooper alongside him. You heard Brian talking, I mean, heaping nothing but praise on the kid at the end of the season. I'll be very surprised if he doesn't get some kind of extension. And that obviously leads to Devontae Wyatt, the other first-round pick. I think there's a decent chance he does get the fifth-year option exercised. People call me when I'm live. That's a 718 number. They don't know me. Devontae Wyatt, I think, like I said, he'll most likely get the fifth-year option exercised with the eye toward getting him a long-term deal eventually. But I do think it probably makes sense to lock him in for that number, fully guaranteed, but it is, you know, guaranteed for 1 year. And then you can look at how he can, if he continues to kind of wreak havoc the way he did last year when he was on the field, hopefully he's able to stay on the field and rack up some big numbers, and you can maybe negotiate a deal partway through the season. He might bet on himself too and just try and get to the free agency market. Maybe they franchise him, but that's all way down the line. But I do think they'll retain his services, so to speak. As for Christian Watson, really sucks, man. The timing is horrible. Obviously, heading into this season, not being able to play for much of it, probably won't be available until, I know his father had said, around week 12. We'll see if that holds. He may be able to come back and give them something for a stretch run, but you guys know it's usually about a year out from the injury before you're really able to, you know, work compellingly in the offense. But even past that, it's probably another year until you're fully recovered. So maybe that works in the Packers' favor, and they do try to get him, you know, some kind of like 2-year deal, which is easily gotten out of after one, just to keep him around for 2026. And I do think Christian would probably be amiable to that, but it's a real wild card at this point. As for the third round, Sean Ryan, now that it gets tricky there, right? Because he can't pay everybody, and you do have to have some other kind of dudes along the line, so to speak, that are going to be looking to get paid at premier positions. So Sean Ryan's a toss-up to me. I would suspect they probably let him walk and let him know that, hey, if you find something out there or you don't find something out there that's amiable to your, you know, wants and needs contractually, we'd welcome you back with open arms at our number. But I suspect, much like John Runyon Jr., he'll find something in free agency just because that's the nature of the beast around the NFL right now. Romeo Doubs, I suspect there's a decent chance they let him walk. If they aren't even maybe potentially dangling him in trade talks this offseason. Now, I'm not reporting anything. It's just a hunch, right? Given the issues, obviously, well documented about the concussions, the head injuries, but also there is the episode where they had to suspend him for a week, and that, you know, kind of got swept under the rug because he came back and he balled out, and that's what you want. But who really knows what's going on behind the scenes there? Packers, I think a lot will go into what this draft class ends up looking like in April. If they take a wide receiver or two, yeah, I think you can probably say that Doubs is on his way out. Not necessarily for sure, but most likely. And then Zach Tom, he's the one, right? He's the one, number one, absolutely 1,000%. Got to extend him. They will extend him. There is zero doubt in my mind. He is a core player in their program. He will get a new contract and a significant one at that. Kingsley and Nagbari, new pronunciation. That's one where I think this season will tell you a lot. I think they had hoped he probably would jump, pop a little bit more in the new scheme this past season, and it didn't really happen. I think there's a decent chance they tried to keep him on a hometown discount, but yeah, that one's a toss up to me. And then the rest of that draft class, I believe outside of Rashid, is already out the door. But with Rashid Walker, that's the one that to me is very interesting as far as, you know, we talked about Sean Ryan and most likely saying, okay, see what's out there. They got to know if Rashid hits the market, he is going to get paid. He's going to get paid tackle money. The Packers want to pay him tackle money. I don't know. And I think you can make the case that, yeah, you absolutely should. But you also drafted Jordan Morgan to play left tackle. And I know they thrust him into guard roles last year, but I got to think that if Jordan Morgan shows any aptitude at tackle this summer in training camp, even if he doesn't win the starting job, I think, yeah, they probably let Walker hit the market. And that sounds crazy. Starting left tackles in the league rarely hit free agency. And I do think, you know, there's a case to be made that Rashid played very well last year, but you can probably confidently say they could do better. And is that Jordan Morgan? Is that possibly someone in this draft? That's all a possibility. So that one to me is another toss-up because I do think there's a lot going on there. Whole lot of pieces got to fit. Pack Daddy, what's going on, man? Would a smaller, twitchy pass rusher in the first round like Mike Green even be an option in a scheme where he'll have to put his hand on the ground? I would tend to doubt it, Pack Daddy. Also, I don't think, and look, we're in that part of the season, right? The off season, right? Where it's he'll never be there season, right? I don't think he'll be there at 23. Maybe he is, but I would be surprised for the very reasons you're stating that Brian would pull the trigger there. I love his game, but I don't see him as a fit for what the Packers are trying to do up front. Jason, thanks for the super chat, man. Going back in the Wayback Machine, why wasn't Aaron Taylor and Craig Newsome given second contracts? Oh, why you want to hurt me, man? Well, Aaron Taylor, I think he was just positionally, I think because he played guard. And I think they didn't back, especially back then. Hell, that kind of stays true to today. But back then, especially, it was like, oh, it's a guard. He's replaceable. And yes, he was one of the best and certainly played like it later in his career. But, you know, injuries played part of that too. But yeah, I think that was mostly positional. The Craig Newsome thing, man, I think there were some, like, they thought there were signs that injuries were catching up. But yeah, I remember hating it. I do remember thinking he was too good to let go. But, you know, you always think that, especially when you're a younger man and attached emotionally to some players. I think that may have clouded things in my eyes. But the Aaron Taylor thing was pretty much just, as far as I can tell, it was, as I can remember, was mostly just positionally. Cheeto, what's going on? I bet Jordan Love could down a beer. My QBs must. Do you think so? I don't see Jordan Love as a beer drinker, downer, chugger, what have you. I don't know. That's a very interesting question. I'm going to ask him that during training camp. Probably during the dog days when, like, we've been there a few weeks and everyone's exhausted all their questions, to give a little curveball, you know. That's a good question, though, Cheeto. Craig, how are you, man? Thanks for the super chat. What are the single-digit percentages of the Packers signing Davante Adams? Who is the vet in the wide receiver room right now? Do we go for a cheaper vet in free agency with Romeo as trade bait? A lot of questions there, buddy. I mean, the vet, quote unquote, are Romeo and Christian. Right now, Christian's hurt, and I do think they'll draft at least one wide receiver, and that makes Romeo kind of the grandpa of the group on the field. That said, could they look at a vet in free agency? Yeah, of course they could. What are the, you know, percentages of Devontae coming back? I think they're minimal. I've talked about that quite a bit. I'd be very, very surprised if that occurred. And look, I know everyone's down on the idea of just rolling it back with these guys and maybe adding a draft pick or two. But I do think, A, that that's probably what they're going to do, and B, I'm all for it. I still believe in this group. I still believe in the idea that they don't need a number one. I know, Josh Jacobs notwithstanding. God bless him. Love what he does running the football. I don't need him as my general manager. It's fine. And look, people can disagree about this, right? And I know they do, which is fine. But I said this earlier in the offseason. I think Brian's going to get to a point this season, or this offseason, where he's going to look in the mirror and say, do I believe in this thing or not? You know, when he ripped the Band-Aid off the way he did and he went super young, he knew something like last year was a very good possibility. Now, do you have the fortitude to stick with it and see it through? Because you've got plenty of evidence throughout the years of wide receivers really struggling their second or third year, or first and second year in the league, and then coming to fruition and blossoming and becoming really fucking good. And there is nowhere that you can find a better example of that than the recent history of the Green Bay Packers, whether you're talking about James Jones, you're talking about Davante Adams, you're talking about Jordy Nelson. All of these guys struggled early in their careers. The difference then was that they had other players to deal with, like who could take up the slack, etc. So why go through all these growing pains where you're now on the doorstep of hopefully these guys coming to fruition and becoming phenomenal wide receivers in the NFL? So you're going to bring in, what, some broken down old dude to take away their reps and their opportunities to do that? This was the plan, very clearly. You said it in a microphone in a press conference. This was the plan, to let them grow and develop together. Part of growth is struggle. Part of development is trying to learn from your mistakes. They've got a whole year of learning under their belt. They've got, some of them, 2 or 3 years of learning under their belt. To just change course now feels weird to me. I'm not saying it couldn't work. Man, hell yeah, bring it on. Bring in some Davante Adams. Let's do it. I'm not saying that's impossible, and I'm not saying I wouldn't root for, you know, that setup to go win a Super Bowl. Because unlike most other people, I'm not here to say I told you so. I love the Green Bay Packers, and I want them to win. I don't care how they do it. I'm just telling you what I think they're going to do and what I would prefer they do. That is just me. What else we got here, folks? Jose says, get Mac. Well, I got great news for you, buddy. There's a whole video that you can watch here on the channel about going to get Mac and how he'd be a perfect fit for the Green Bay Packers. I talked with Matt Bowen of ESPN about it yesterday. So make sure you check that out here on the channel. There is no way this is okay. I am begging people to get off the internet, even though you're here talking to me. I love you all. What's with all the MCAR says, what's with all the rumors about Jeff Janis coming back as a starter? People keep talking about MCAR. I'm just going to lay this out there. Whoever you see talking about that specific rumor, you need to mute, delete, unfriend, move out of your life, exorcise that demon, and however you want to go about it. Get rid of that entity, whether it's a person, whether it's a page on Facebook, where I suspect that it was started, whatever it is, wherever it came from that you saw that rumor, get rid of it from your life. Nothing good is going to come from it. Jason, thanks again, man. I agree with you about Jordan Morgan. Brian didn't draft him in the first round to play right guard. He'll be given every opportunity to be the left tackle. Perfectly stated, Jason. I very much agree. And I think because people keep saying like, well, you know, Rashid's entering last year and well, you know, he'll be the starting left tackle next year. I don't think that's a foregone conclusion. I do think Jordan Morgan's getting the opportunity to compete this summer. We'll see. Ed, how you doing, man? Second greatest team in organized sports, the Red Devils from K-Town, Germany. Soccer lost today. Thankfully, Daly is here to assuage my pain. Ed, if I can ever be here to, you know, help you in times of need when teams I have never heard of have lost, that's why I'm here, man. Stephen Schultz. What's with all the rumors about BJ Raji coming back as a starter? People keep talking about. Now, that one's true. That one we're keeping alive forever here at Cheesehead TV. Oh, I love it. All right, I got to get going. I cannot thank you enough for hanging out, talking Packers each and every day, Monday through Friday, right here on the Cheesehead TV social channels. Please do me a monster favor. Hit like on the video, subscribe to the channel, and then tell your friends and tell your family, Cheesehead TV, we are devoted to Green Bay Packers fans worldwide. Thanks a lot, everybody. Have a great weekend. I'll talk to you on Monday. Go Pack, go.